We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Then Rocket can. Coming up next segment, I've got the head football coach at Pittsburgh, Pat Narduzzi. Let me give you a telephone number. It's not a telephone number for this show, but rather a telephone number for our podcast, where we take your voicemails. We've done this for the last few years. We're still doing it. Put this number in your phone, 949-385-0447, 949-385-0447. All right, so you know what? I want to keep it positive. Let's keep it positive. The glass is half full. Good vibes, good energy, positive, upbeat story. There is a massive NBA story, and it's taking place in Miami. And somehow, some way, it's actually under the radar for many of you, off the grid for many of you. And I can't believe that, personally. I can't believe that everybody is not talking about this. Everybody needs to get their head out their ass right now. Because the icon that is UD is getting run. Legitimate run. That's right. Udonis the Jungle. Dadonis?
He looks like a Dadonis.
Udonis the Dadonis?
He looks like a Dadonis.
Is seeing the floor. He's getting minutes with the Heat.
That's
the 41-year-old legend. He might not be playing big minutes, but he is playing minutes nonetheless. And some minutes are a hell of a lot more than no minutes. Last night, he checked in for 7 minutes of the Heat's beatdown of the pathetic Pelicans. And of course, it was the best 7 minutes of that game. It was also the fourth time already this season that he had seen the court. Remember, we only saw him once all of last year. Only once for 3 minutes in the final week of the season. Of course, they were three of the best minutes of the entire season. 3 minutes that were absolutely epic. They were one of the highlights of the entire NBA season. Those 3 minutes. A season where UD only played a total of 3 minutes. But who will ever forget those 3 minutes?
And a foul is called on Haslam.
And now Haslam's having words with Dwight Howard. I'm loving this right now. Here we go.
Haslam pointing the finger may have made contact. He talked about his toughness before.
See, first of all, Howard throws him to the ground here. And now here's the words between Haslam, and there's the point. May have been contact, yeah.
Yep, he's gone. They ejected him.
Legend. Can you imagine this guy doing all the right things all season long, being there for his teammates, being there for the coaches, being there at practice, kind of enforcing the code, reinforcing the culture that the Heat are so famous for, and never, ever complaining. Always keeping himself ready, finally getting into a game, last game of the year, for 3 minutes, and wanting to go with Dwight Howard. One of the most awesome things I've ever seen. So after those three amazing minutes, maybe the three most important minutes in the history of the association, the Heat bring him back. Hell yes, they brought him back. In fact, what they actually said was, and if these aren't the exact words, it certainly was intimated, this guy can stay however long he wants. Like, you know how no one guy is ever bigger than the team? This guy might be. UD can stay as long as he wants. And that's the right answer. Good job by Riles. Good job by Spo. If anybody earned a lifetime contract, it's this dude. But clearly, Spo's not just bringing this guy around to be some kind of figurehead or some kind of mascot or some kind of glorified assistant. Spo knows what he's doing. He thought about UD's role in the offseason and realized, man, I've got a living legend on my bench. I got to get this guy some minutes. I've got to get this guy some run. Fast forward to November. We're 15 games into Miami season. He has already checked in 4 times. Last night, 7 minutes were by far the most so far and by far the best. What did he do with those 7 minutes? See, that's the greatest thing about Haslam. You know that if he's in for 1 minute, he's going to max that minute. You know if he's in for 7 minutes, it's practically a lifetime. He stole the show in those 7 minutes. Let's check out that stat line. Here's what this guy did. Ask yourself, are you maximizing every day? Are you living every day, every hour to its fullest? My man, UD is. Look what he did in 7 minutes. 2 points on 1-on-1 shooting, 3 boards, an assist, a block, 2 fouls, and he was plus 12. plus 12 in 7 minutes. That's a 41-year-old dude walking onto an NBA floor and then setting that thing on fire. And the highlight of the night, the highlight of the entire game, was that one block. The one block was a rim rejection. Trey Murphy had the audacity to try to test the legend, to try to go up over UD. And you know UD was ready for that. He was here for that. And you know what he said? Get that bleep the hell out of here.
Trey Murphy, denied! Udonis, you just did it! This place buzzing over the last block by Udonis. Vincent, kaboom! A game that has turned.
A game that has turned. And when did it turn? When the big fella was protecting the rim. 7 UD minutes lit that entire joint up. And then UD went out to the postgame podium, and he kept the flames coming. He wanted to make something very, very clear. He's not here for your old man talk. He's not here for your grandpa jokes. He's not here for a participation trophy. He's not here to be a mascot or a figurehead. He wants all the idiots on social media to know that he can still ball and he can still do it at a high level.
It's good to go out there and be able to play the game of basketball. I think everybody's so critical. You know, every time I make a mistake, it's his age. Anybody can trip. A 5-year-old can trip. A 6-year-old can trip. But if a 40-year-old trips, he's old. So, you know, for me, it's funny. But at the same time, I tell people all the time, as long as I stay healthy, you know, I can still play this game. You know, my body is key right now, but my mind still moves at a rapid pace. I'm ahead of the plays. I can get to charges. I can get to, recovery. I can switch pick and rolls and stay in front of the ball. For me, it's just about health at this stage of the game.
My man nailed that. He's so right. A 40-year-old trips and it's like, yo, man, he is so old. Yeah, but nobody says that when a 5-year-old trips or a 10-year-old trips or a 20-year-old trips. I think you're all tripping if you don't get this guy. He's right. He is healthy. He is sharp mentally. He wants to be out there. And believe me, this guy's not out there hanging on to pull a check. This is an extremely fierce, proud individual. If he thought he was doing anything to hurt his team, or if he thought that he could not help them, there's no way in hell he'd be out there. So he's not just there to participate. He's a contributor. This guy's no sideshow. He's not there to be a sideshow. Like, he's happy that we're happy whenever he gets into the game. But that's not the lift that he's looking to provide. This dude is a winner, and he's trying to win.
I want the emotional lift to come from my actions, you know, what I do on the basketball court. And I don't want it to come from the crowd cheering just because I checked in. You know, I can check in and be a minus 50. The crowd's still going to cheer. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to contribute to wins. You know what I'm saying? So I don't, you know, want just the burst to be just because UD checked in. UD still has a job. And when I step on the basketball court, my job is to help us win games and contribute.
I love it, man. The oldest of the old school. This is when they talk about that so-called amazing Miami Heat culture, that's what they're talking about. This guy's not like, hey, man, I'm not the 14th guy at the end of the bench that you chant for in a 30-point blowout so I can jack one up. No, I'm here to help this team win. I'm here to make plays. I'm here to make a difference. So you know me, I don't play favorites, but I couldn't possibly be any more into this than I am. Physically, I hope this guy's body holds up. And you know he's doing everything he possibly can. It's just that father time is a mother bleeper. But this guy's putting in the time. He's doing the work. Look at him. So physically, I hope he holds up. Mentally, I know he's right. Spo, keep calling this dude's number. Keep running this guy out there. Man, make it an every night thing. I'm not saying you got to get him 30 minutes every single night. I'm saying you got to get him 7 to 10 to 12 minutes every single night. The guy was plus 12. In 7 minutes, he makes plays, winning plays. He makes guys around him better. You let this guy stay as long as he wants, run as long as he wants, and then when he's done running, you show him Pat Riley's office and you move him in there. Hand him the keys.
Get a grip.
I'm telling you, man, he's earned it. And somehow at 41, he's still out there earning it every single night. I love him. My only regret is we have not had a conversation with him on this show in some time. Hey, Rit, wake the hell up back there, man. Try and get him. That'd be a good one. Number 200. There you go, Rit. Number 200. UD.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. K, Canadian Hitman, 3 minutes. 3 minutes? We wish. Signed, Clones Wives. Hey man, didn't I tell you in hour number one to take the rest of the week or month or year off? That's a good one, Hitman. How long the clones last. Funny stuff, brah. If I were in fourth grade. Sal in Arkansas. Jim, Udonis went hard for 7 minutes? We can't even make it 3 minutes. Signed, Danica's Tenderonis. That actually is a little bit better. Because Alvin, she is on record as saying she's going to find a Tenderoni, get drunk, take him home, and ruin him.
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the game, get drunk, find a little Tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
An incredible line. And Squirrel 2 writes, UD is getting run? By UD, do you mean the great equalizer? Yours? Unending diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
No, UD is not short for diarrhea. Unending diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
Udonis.
Think about it. Is the great equalizer.
Diarrhea.
Think about it.
Is the great equalizer.
Yeah, yeah.
Diarrhea.
It is. I stand by that take. There's certain things I said back in the day that I no longer say because I've evolved and I've changed my mind. That's not one of those things. It is still the great equalizer.
Diarrhea is the great.
It's better than all of us. You can't win. It's undefeated.
Diarrhea doesn't care.
Sex is undefeated. Father Time is undefeated. Diarrhea is undefeated.
Sex with me.
They will never lose. Those three things will never lose. They really won't even tie.
The clog.
Some great urban myth.
Does that mean I need to get out, Alvin?
And I can only say that I've heard this. I've never known anybody to try this.
Oh, I see what you did there. Father Time. You equated Father Time with the clock.
The clock.
Yeah, I got cops who listen to the program. Tell me if it's true. I've heard that.
I thought that you meant that I was over on the clock. All right, so Pat Narduzzi is coming up next. In addition to that, our phone lines are open. I do want to talk some hockey. Sean Thornton is my guest on this week's episode of the Jim Rohn Podcast. I want to get that to you. I want to give you a taste of that so you've got a reason to listen to that. You've got a reason to listen to all of them, but that one especially. But we talk Pittsburgh football when we come back. It's that time of day. That time for me to remind you that Trico was the very first company to make wiper blades, and they have been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since then, protecting drivers in the harshest weather, from torrential downpours to gale force winds to wintry blasts. In every single climate all across the country, Trico engineers are constantly studying your specific driving conditions to make sure that you will be ready for anything and everything, even if it does actually rain cats and dogs. But if that were to happen, you'd still be covered. Whatever weather that you encounter, you can rely on Trico wipers to maintain maximum windshield contact for safe, clear driving visibility in any condition whatsoever, no matter what your driving habits are, no matter what kind of car you drive. You will always find the right Trico wiper blade for you. Trico, the future of wipers. Since 1917, to find a store near you and to see all their latest offers, go to TricoCatsAndDogs.com, T-R-I-C-O, TricoCatsAndDogs.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rohn Show.
So what you saying?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. You want to call or click Grainger.com or just stop right on by. We're going to talk Pittsburgh football in 1 minute. Pat Narduzzi is going to be my guest. He's the head coach there, and I'm efforting that as we speak. I will be on the road this weekend. I'll be back in New York for the NFL Today on CBS. And that show airs every Sunday during the football season, 12 noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. They do not let me come to every single one. But they will let me come several times a year, and I love it. So look for that, 12 noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. Boomer, Phil, JB, Nate, everybody, an amazing crew behind the scenes. Absolute blast to be a part of that program. So that's coming up on Sunday. As promised, we're joined right now by the head football coach at Pittsburgh. Seventh season with the Panthers, 2013 Broyles Award winner. He led Pitt to a divisional title in 2018. They are 8-2 and number 18 in the college football playoff rankings. They're at Pitt on Saturday. Virginia is. That's going to be a big game. We are joined right now by Pat Narduzzi. Pat, what's going on? It's good to have you back. How are things?
Hey, Jim. How you doing? It's great to be on today. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's good to have you back, Pat. Thanks so much. You are in the top 20. You're in first in your division. You've got a Heisman candidate at quarterback. So bottom line things for me. How is life for you right now, and what is the vibe like around the program?
You know, the vibe around the program is great. I mean, we've got a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback who I think is the best quarterback in the country. I'll throw that out on your show. We've got a, you know, semifinals for the Biletnikoff and Jordan Addison at receiver. And I think we got a, you know, a young safety, you know, Brandon Hill, who's also a finalist for the Thorpe. Again, I should say it's finalist, semi, whatever that finalist is, but he's at least on the Thorpe watch list, I guess. So things are great in Pittsburgh. You know, we're getting cranked up for another one this weekend. We had fun last week on a Thursday night at North Carolina, and we're looking forward to the Cavaliers coming into Pittsburgh.
Pat Narduzzi is my guest. All right, Pat, you talked about your quarterback and him being the best quarterback in the nation right now, Kenny Pickett. Let me ask you, what separates him from all the other great quarterbacks in the nation?
You know, I think, you know, I think the first thing is maturity. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there that I just don't think can do what he does. He comes from a pro-style offense. So when I think, you know, best quarterbacks, I think about the quarterback that's going to be the guy in the future to start in the NFL and be a guy that can, you know, can win a Super Bowl with somebody. That's what I see is, you know, there's a lot of times there's great quarterbacks that run for a lot of yards and throw for a lot of yards, and you know, a lot of it's RPOs. You know, there hasn't been one RPO. It's this guy's handing the ball off or he's dropping back like a pro quarterback has to do. And you talk about ready made for the NFL. He actually knows how to take a snap under center. It's not all shotgun. So it's not a, I don't call it, you know, gimmick offenses out there, but it's not, you know, lineman running down 3, 4, 5 yards down the field and throwing passes. That's not where he's getting his work done. He's a drop back, read the coverage. Again, pro-style quarterback is what I see, but athletic enough to be a guy who can beat you with his feet.
Right, Pat, and then all the other intangibles. For instance, everything you just said, but I had him on the program earlier this season. Man, there is so much to like about his game and his poise, his composure, his ability to lead from the front. When did you first realize that you had a chance or had something in him that was going to be very special?
You know, we knew it in his freshman year, okay? And you're going to say, oh, you know, come on now, okay? He was a scout team quarterback. I thought he was special, okay? We've got another special quarterback on the scout field, I thought, this year as well, but won't get into him. But I thought he was a special quarterback as a freshman, and I'll take you back a little bit here, and I don't want to get long-winded because I know we only have so much time here. But in Kenny's freshman year, he's on scout field. We go play at Syracuse. He travels, of course, with us. Max Brown, our starting quarterback, goes down, dislocates his shoulder. And I went out there to see him, Jim, and you know, like you do every player that goes down on the field, you run out there going, hope it's not bad. And I get out there, I look down, it's dislocated shoulder. I'm looking at him, he's wincing, he's not feeling good. And at that point right then, I said, Kenny Pickett's going to have to play. We were trying to get through and redshirt him, put him on a scout field, let him grow up and in a natural way, not try to have to push him to action. He wasn't the first quarterback in that day. We had another backup. I won't mention his name, but I just knew he wasn't the guy, and I knew Kenny was the guy. So we knew back then that's a true story, and people kind of criticized me after the game because I played another quarterback after that. Kenny Pickett threw the last pass of the game, and they're like, you put him in for one play, you blew his red shirt. And again, the rules back then weren't, you know, four games like they are now. So, but my plans all along were, you know, when I went out there to see Max Brown, that, you know, I knew Kenny Pickett was going to have to play, and I knew he was special at that time.
You knew what you had. Pat Narduzzi is joining us now again, and you mentioned this, Pat. It's not just Pickett who's having a huge year. Earlier this week, you dropped by the receivers room to tell Jordan Addison to call his mom. For those who do not know, what was that all about?
So. I got the word right. I usually have a weekly Monday noon press conference, so probably 5 minutes before my press conference, our sports information guy says, "Hey, You know, he's a semifinalist for the Biletnikoff Award. Jordan Addison is. So I was like, wow. So I called his mother, Keisha, who's just the sweetest lady in the world, and told her and said, hey, you know, do you want me to call him and tell him, or do you want to tell him? She goes, you know, maybe you. And I said, you know what? I think you need to do it. So anyway, so mom was going to call him. So as I'm walking down the hallway to my press conference, I walk by the receiver room and he's in there. So I kind of popped in there, probably being late for my new meeting, and said, hey, Jordan. I said, hey, did your mom call you? Have you talked to your mom? And he goes, she called me, but I'm watching film. You know, I was like, listen, your mother calls you, answer the phone. So I said, call her back right now. Okay. So he called her back and he got the information, from her as she gathered, you know, his brothers and sisters on the phone at the same time. She wanted to have everybody on the phone together and tell him. So it was a special moment.
So let me ask you this, Pat. I would imagine, I'm not there, but I would imagine he probably took that in stride. It did not change expression. Like, could you even tell that he was receiving good news?
No, not at all. Not at all, because I was, you know, I asked him actually last night. He said, by the way, when I, you know, left you in that room, like you did, you know, when I gave you a fist bump because I had to go to the press conference, did you already know at that point? He said, yeah. And but that's who he is, Jim. He's just a laid back, you know, just do my job. You know, we talk around here about list guys. The guys are on list. Miss study hall, miss this, late for this, you know, missed a tutor, you know, whatever it may be. We try to chart everything. And Jordan Addison is just as great a kid and football player. I mean, just like there's no issues with him. It's like it's so refreshing in this day and age to have a guy that's usually sometimes your best players are the most high maintenance. He is low maintenance, special, and he didn't really care. He's just like, you know, it just doesn't matter to him. It doesn't faze him.
Pat Narduzzi is my guest. Pat, I wonder, like, that's a coach's dream, right? When one of your best players has got that kind of approach, that kind of process, that kind of mentality, is it contagious? Does it rub off on other guys? I mean, you certainly hope so, but does it?
You know, not no. Yeah, I don't think so.
I agree. You know, I'm with you on that. I hate to say it, but I agree.
It really doesn't. I wish I could tell you it did. Maybe it's one or two. Maybe there's one guy or two guys that would have gone, you know, a different direction. But it certainly doesn't bring everybody in there. But I know this, when you talk about an example of, hey, you can be a great player and not have to, you know, show everybody. You can score a touchdown and hand the ball to the official and do it the right way, as opposed to having to have a dance and do this and do that. You know, Jordan's that type of guy. You tell him one time and he does it, and that's why he's a great player. You tell him, you know, run fast and plan off your eighth step and take a left, and he's going to do it exactly the way you ask him to do it. And he's what coaching is all about. He's fun.
All right, so you've got Virginia coming to your place on Saturday, and you've got a chance to win the division with a win on Saturday. I would ask you if that feels stressful, but knowing you a little bit, Pat, I know that you're going to tell me no, but let me ask you this. Like, how do you look at stress? What do you do with stress? And what do you want your players to do with it and view it?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. People have been talking about this lately, but, you know, we talk about there's stress and there's pressure, and, you know, stress is bad. And to me, stress is when you aren't prepared. Pressure is there's pressure. There's pressure throws, pressure, you know, blitzes, whatever it may be. But, you know, when you're prepared for a game mentally and physically, there is no stress. I mean, you'll get butterflies before a game, but I'm never, you know, stressed out. If you feel pressure of a big game or a game, and all games are, you know, I don't care if we play New Hampshire. We beat them 77-0 or 77-7 earlier in the season. But you know what? I was as prepared for that game as any of them. But you're still going, you know, we can walk out here and lose this football game too. And you would think you'd walk into that game feeling really confident, like we're going to kill these guys. But it's not like that. So I think you approach every game the same. And again, stress and pressure, you know, pressure. You put it this way, Jim. You're taking a test when you were back in college. Remember taking that test that you weren't prepared for? And you didn't study for, you didn't know what the heck you were doing. You walked in there, you're like, oh, God, this ain't going to be a good day. That's stress, okay? But when you walk into that English class or that math class and you know what you're doing and you know what's the content, you know how to line up, you know what coverages are going to run, there's no stress. So preparation is the stress killer.
Preparation breeds confidence. And Pat, you have no idea how much that analogy you just made resonates with me. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because my listeners know this story, but I'm a guy in his 50s now, Pat, and I still have reoccurring nightmares of that very test you're talking about in college because I was not prepared. They don't come as often as they used to, but I'm telling you, Pat, I get this. And I'm not even laughing because it's real. Every time I have
it
that dream,
real.
Pat, it's real that I had not gone to class all quarter. I didn't know where to find the professor. I didn't know what the office hours were. And it's because of what you said. I was not prepared.
There's no doubt about it. But, you know, when I laugh, it's because it's so, hey, I think I have still nightmares sometimes about like I'm back in college and I'm not ready for that test.
Yes, right.
And that's why you've been a huge success because you have, you know, again, you found a way to get it done and but you've prepared the rest of your life and, you know, and you were probably more prepared but not as prepared as you wanted to be.
That's exactly it. I mean, how much more successful might I have been if I had actually prepared for those tests? No, but you're right. You're right. Listen, I mentioned it off the top, Pat. It's hard to imagine, but you are in your seventh year already with that program. Time flies, and it feels like it was just yesterday that you got that job. When you look back on where things were when you arrived and where they are right now and how much the program has grown, what kind of thoughts do you have and how much pride do you have in it?
You know, I have a ton of pride. You know, there's a reason I came here. It is really hard to believe that you've been here 7 years. You know, that doesn't happen in coaching anymore. Usually it's three and you're gone, whether you get fired or you take another job. So I'm blessed to be here. It's a great university. You know, we do a great job coaching, and we do a lot of details. You know, we have the opportunities every week to watch other games. Like, you know, last week beating North Carolina, we had a, you know, well, put it this way, Virginia, you know, we've got a four-game breakdown on them. We've played Bronco four times, you know. You know, Fuente, you know, who's now gone at Virginia Tech, great person, great coach. But we had a, you know, 5-year breakdown. So when I say a 5-year breakdown, we get to go back and watch 5 years worth of, you know, we have a cut up just meant to that. What are they like against us? You know, when you talk game plans, sometimes you're looking at game plans and they might like this pass concept against one team, but they don't like it against another. You know, but I think, you know, based on your style of offense or defense, teams are going to try to defend you the same way. If they thought, how, you know, if, you know, Bronco defended us back in 2019 was the last time we played them in the opener, but they defended us that day. There are going to be some similarities to how they defended the same type of offense and the same type of defense. So, you know, so there's similarities. So you get to go back and look at those things. So to answer your question about the development of the Pitt program, I go back and look at some of these old school, and I'm watching like my first year, 2015, and I'm watching our players on the field, and I look and I'm like, wow, we are a lot better. You know, we know what we're doing. We look different. We play different. It's real. And this program is on the rise, Jim. You know, we had 7 guys drafted last year. We got, you know, we'll have at least 4 guys go to the Senior Bowl this year. It's not stopping. We're just continuing to do a great job recruiting players. We do a great job developing players. And this place is a gold mine. We've won 9 national championships. We got 25 first-rounders and 9 Hall of Famers. And you know, Jimbo Covert being the last one who was inducted this last summer. But there's going to be plenty more with Larry Fitzgerald and LeSean McCoy, and you keep going and going.
Damn, Pat, I wish I had eligibility and talent. I love that. Listen, one last thought, and part of this is about you, though. Now, you played linebacker. You came up on the defensive side of the ball, but the story goes that last year you started going to offensive meetings. You told The Athletic, quote, "I'm no offensive guru, but this is about being in there, knowing and having input and putting ideas out there." Why was that important to you, and how valuable is that time spent in the offensive meetings?
Well, it's just, you know, it's just being more aware. And again, you know, Coach Whipple does a great job, but like I'm a defensive guy, so I understand tendencies and I understand, you know, what we're looking at. So I just wanted to be more involved, and I got involved in the off season. Really started getting a little bit involved, Jim, last year in our open week of just making sure, you know, we're, you know, formationally doing the right things out of it and just saying, hey, this formation here, all we do is run out of it, and this one we pass out of it. So I just try to, you know, at least look at it from a defensive perspective about what we look at, and try to put it together. We did that at the end of the year, and then, you know, watched off-season cut-ups about what we needed to do. We've cut down our run game as far as how many different concepts we're doing. What are we doing? What are we doing well? Let's get rid of the ones we don't need. And I think our offense has done an outstanding job of just, and again, I didn't do anything. I'm just, like you said, a dumb defensive guy.
I said you were a defensive guy. I did not say you were a dumb defensive guy, Pat.
I say I'm a dumb defensive guy.
All right. No, I actually love that. And one last thought, you mentioned that the great, great tradition of this program, the NFLers that you mentioned, are they good about coming back?
Yes, they sure are. I mean, Aaron Donald was back this week lifting here because they were open this week. They all come back. I mean, LeSean McCoy's come back. Deion Lewis has been back. They all come back. Larry Fitzgerald's been back. I mean, Tony Dorsett comes back all the time. Dan Marino, last time he comes back all the time. We golf every summer together. You know, he was down when we were, you know, clinching last year, 2 years ago, the Wake Forest game. We went down and beat Wake Forest to clinch the Coastal Division of the ACC. He was in that locker room afterwards with Jimbo Covert. And, you know, so they all come back. That's the other beautiful thing about it. Not only do they come back, they give back. And a lot of those former NFL players don't really give back in a lot of places.
I'm trying to let you go, Pat, but one last thought. Like Aaron Donald coming back on a bye week and lifting is absolutely incredible. How do the guys, how do the players respond when they see a legend like that just throwing the weights around?
You know, Aaron Donald, I mean, you know how long he's been in the NFL. He's a real guy. He's got a locker in our locker room. Our guys love when Aaron comes back. He lives, I mean, he's here all summer. He lives here in Pittsburgh. He's got a home in Pittsburgh. He grew up in Pittsburgh. And he's back. Our players love it. I mean, it's just like, and you watch his work ethic. Our guys learn as much from Aaron Donald and what he does and how he acts when he's in the summer. You know, he held out, I want to say, you know, not last year, the year before, you know, prior to COVID, but he was a holdout in camp and was here almost all of our training camp, it seemed like. I mean, he was here every day during double sessions, out on the field watching and being around our kids. So he's an incredible person. And I might add, Aaron Donald, you know, as young as his NFL career has been, as successful as it's been, has already given back a six-figure amount to the University of Pittsburgh. So he's special in many ways.
That is so great. Pat, I want to say this from me to you. I really appreciate you. I normally don't want to keep a guest as long as I kept you, but the reason I did that, you're a rare guest. I mean, you're somebody who's locked in. Your energy is great. Your passion is apparent. You're not giving me cliches. I mean, that is such a great conversation that you and I have, and I always look forward to it, Pat. So I want you to know that, and I want you to know how much I appreciate it.
Hey, Jim, I appreciate that, and my phone is always open. So you want to talk, you want to have a good conversation, bring Pat Narduzzi on and the Pitt Panthers, okay, Jim?
My man, you got it, Pat. Appreciate you. Good luck this weekend. You got a big one. Pitt, 8-2, number 18 in the college football playoff rankings. Pat Narduzzi, my guest. I know this already. I know that if I want a good conversation, I know where to go to get it. That guy, great energy, great passion, and he's done an amazing job with that program. 8-2, number 18 in the college football playoff rankings, and they've got a big one on Saturday. They're at home against Virginia. All right. You know what it's like? When you get a guest like that, it's like sitting down and playing blackjack, and you get on a heater, and you got a good hand, man. Keep playing, keep playing, keep playing. That's what it is. I sat down at a hot table. I'm going to play that thing as long as I possibly can. Until I remember, I got a sports update that I've got to get to, which is right now. Here is the very latest on this Thursday. And then I have to... I love me some Pat Narduzzi. I love that he went third person at the end of the interview, too. I love guys that love doing it. Gals, too. Know where they are. Appreciate the opportunity to talk about the things that matter most to them. Not every guest is like that. Eric Musselman was an amazing guest earlier today. Pat Narduzzi was a great guest. Sam Amy came in with tremendous information. Good, good interview day. Now, the funny thing about that interview is many of you have the same question or a spin. Let me read you a sampling really quickly. Justin is in, quote, "War Jim dropping his head when coach mentions cranking it up and the consequences that will come from the clones and their tweets and emails. I did not drop my head.
Crank, crank."
I'm going to respond to you in 1 minute, but some other reactions. This is from at DBLD3. "Hey, at Jim Rome, love the interview with head coach Pat Narduzzi of Pitt Football. Quote, preparation is a stress killer. Get yourself prepared and then let it happen." Ian McLean, I should say, says, "Jim, did I hear Lil Alvy give a delayed crank ding during Coach Pat's interview? Ian in the natty. War Alvin freaking DeLoro." Randall tweets, "Two coaches in 2 weeks, get the ding. That's a crank bingo. War nasty heavy metal bumper music." All right, so not only did I not hang my head, I actually asked Alvin, "Dude, where's the ding?" Because Pat did go the crank blast.
That finalist is, but he's at least on the Thorpe watch list, I guess. So things are great in Pittsburgh. You know, we're getting cranked up for another one this weekend. And we had fun last week on a Thursday night at North Carolina.
Pat, you talked about your quarterback, Kenny Pickett. Let me ask you, what separates him from all the other great quarterbacks?
Yeah, how good is that? In the nation?
That was real time. That was not edited. That was real time. You're exactly right. It was a delayed ding. Why is there a ding? Whenever you hear a random ding on the show, that's Alvin acknowledging something. Whatever that something might be. It might be a sponsor reference. It absolutely will be a crank reference. Crank, because crank. It's also the crank counter. So I gave him a look. Alvin and I have this thing like where I'm Matt Stafford and he's Cooper Kupp. He's not Odell. We're like, we're on the same page. We have a chemistry. We have a thing. We have an unspoken thing. So if we're doing the show and Alvin's on the other side of the glass and a coach or an athlete or anybody at all mentions the word crank, I look over at Alvin. He knows what I'm looking at. He knows what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the ding. But if Alvin, if you could play that back one more time, wait for the delayed reaction. See how long it takes him to play. And I know he heard it, but why was he not reacting to it?
That finalist is, but he's at least on the Thorpe watch list, I guess. So things are great in Pittsburgh. You know, we're getting cranked up for another one this weekend. We had fun last week on a Thursday night at North Carolina.
Pat, you talked about your quarterback, Kenny Pickett. Let me ask you, what separates him from all the other great
quarterbacks? Okay, so that ding does not relate to anything I'm saying, right?
I know a number of you listening, those of you with jungle Tourette's, or those of you who have history with the program, thought the same thing. Where is it? Where is it? Come on, Alvin. You're asleep at the switch. I asked Alvin afterwards during the break. And his response was something, well, no, actually what I said was, Alvin, can you come on the air and explain this? And he started to pull his, I said, Alvin, would you prefer that I explain it? Yeah, dude, it's always better when you do. You do a better job explaining me than I do explaining me. All right, fair enough. Alvin's point, though, was, I don't play the ding right when it happens, because I don't want to bring it up underneath a guest and confuse that guest and have that guest lose his or her train of thought. Therefore, I wait for you to ask a question and then I drop it in as an acknowledgement, but I don't do it midstream because I don't want to mess with the guest. You trust me, Pat's dealt with much greater adversity than a random ding.
That's right.
In fact, he'd be one of those guys that he might even say, hey, what was that? Oh, that. That's our crank counter, coach.
Crank, crank.
So, yes, to answer the question, you did hear the delayed ding. That was a delayed crank counting ding. Let's see. Bella's here. Bella. Bella's got a haiku. 'Twas the night before. The big head redeems himself. Let's get down, Jimmy. Well done, Bella. Well done.
Everybody get down.
575. Not only did she work a haiku into the program, she worked it into the night before the big head. I said one of my favorite reasons, or one of my reasons that Bella is my favorite, I don't play favorites. One of my reasons for thinking she is one of the best is she's all about the big head bet segment. Bella gets down. Quote, 'twas the night before. The big head redeems himself. Let's get down, Jimmy. Big head and I were licking our wounds off last week. You know what? Because we had been on a run. And here's the problem. It is so hard to make money picking games and gambling that when you have success and you're hitting near 60% like the big head was, you got to take more time to enjoy that and celebrate that because there's an ass kicking right around the corner. We know this. And that ass kicking was last week. And then I'm looking at these games, and I'm like, Head, you may have to wear it again. So in the event that you're above 500, which is all anybody could hope for, I want to say this one more time to you clones, because some of you don't understand this game. Some of you are getting upset when the head only goes 4-3, or even worse, 5-2. Nobody hits everything every week. In fact, almost everybody loses every week. Why do you think Vegas is Vegas? They're really good at it. It's really hard to win. So you need to readjust and recalibrate your expectations and understand it is what it is. If you can't afford to lose it, don't spend it. And understand what the game is. Anytime you win more than you lose, even if you go 4-3, that's good. That's a good weekend. 4-3 is a good weekend. 5-2 is a really good weekend. 6-1 is a reason to party. And 7-0 makes you a legend. So, recalibrate, reset your expectations. Bella knows. I love that Bella's already about it the day before. She's not even waking up day of like, hey, it's big head day. She's like, twas the night before. She's not only about it the day before, she worked it into a haiku. Twas the night before, the big head redeems himself. Let's get down, Jimmy. Let's get down, Bella. Let's do this. I wonder, hey, Head, who do you got? You want to give us a little taste. Have you picked tonight's game, Head? Who do you got? What's your number? Let me look and see what I'm looking at here in Cali. Latest number I saw was Pats, -7. All right, I want to be clear about this again. There's almost no team that I can accurately predict or trust in the NFL right now. I'm not saying they're all bad teams. I'm saying it's almost impossible to inherently trust anybody. The league is so wide-ass open right now, and something weird happens every single Sunday. What can I say about the Pats? I love the way they're playing. What can I say about the Falcons? They just got their asses kicked. So you know they're wounded. They're going to want to show up a certain way. Prime time, at home, lots of value. According to what I'm looking at, you can get 7. 7 for a beaten down team in prime time, at home, in a league where you never know what happens. Who you got? Oh, look at the big head. He got real quiet all of a sudden. Way to show courage, brah. That's it. Huge call brought to you by Dell Technologies. You want to shop Dell Technologies' biggest sale of the year. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. So shop Black Friday early access deals on Windows 11 PCs, servers, storage, monitors, and more. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. What's up, big head? Cat got your tongue?